The following audio is from Sand Hills Community Church. More information about Sand Hills Community Church is available at www.sandhillschurch.org.
Okay. All right. 8 years ago, I was speaking at a camp in Michigan, and they gave me and this other speakers the day off, and it was great. And so we went to a little hole-in-the-wall place. They have some around here. It's called Jimmy John's. Does anyone like Jimmy John's? And so Jimmy John's, after I ate it, wasn't starting to agree with me too well. And I wasn't feeling too good. And then they wanted us to go to a movie. And so we went to a movie called Hancock. Does anyone know Hancock, the movie with Will Smith? He's got these supernatural powers. And during the movie, I'm not feeling too good. And my chest is like hurting bad. And it's like, I never have had that problem ever. And I've been told, like, if you're having a heart attack, you feel like an elephant is sitting on your chest. And like, the more I'm trying to watch Hancock, the more I'm like, I'm really struggling, I'm in pain. And so anyway, so I after the movie, I get up and I call my wife and I told her what's going on. And she said, I think you should call your doctor and just check in. And like, my doctor's a friend of mine. So I call my cell, he actually answers. I describe my symptoms, and he said, you need to go to a hospital like right away. So my friend drives me to this hospital in Detroit, Michigan. That's where we were speaking. And the faster he gets, the more my chest hurts, okay? And now he's starting to speed, like 60, 65, 70. And then we're just going through residential areas to get to this hospital. And this is like, he's driving like NASCAR, you know? And I'm like, I'm just kind of like, the more faster he gets, the more my blood pressure is going up. I don't have blood pressure problems at all, but I am now starting to sweat. And now I'm starting to actually get nervous. And I'm actually doing something I've never done before. I'm actually praying the Lord's Prayer as if I'm going to die. I'm like, Our Father who art in heaven. And I call my wife. I'm on flip phone. Remember flip phones? Honey, I think I'm going to die. I don't think I'm going to make it. I love you. And she's like, you probably just have heartburn, you know? But I'm not actually just thinking. I'm just really thinking. I'm not feeling too good here. They take me to the hospital. Have any of you ever been in the emergency room? Have you ever? Isn't it one of the weirdest places ever? And so, like, I go in there, and the first person to my left, this African-American lady, she's rocking. She's going, help me, Jesus, help me, okay? And then the person to my right, she's throwing up in a little bucket, right, okay? And I don't like throw up, and I don't like the smell of throw up. And so I'm thinking I'm going to throw up too, okay? And then meanwhile, this 16-year-old girl falls on the ground in convulsions. They said she'd been there 4 hours, and finally just, she got fed up with not any doctors come and take her. So she was on the ground just like that. And so I'm thinking, this is the weirdest place I've ever been in my life, okay? And then they take me back, and they do what's called an EKG, which is they're checking my heart to see if there's any heart problems. And they were like, well, there doesn't seem to be anything there. There's a little murmur, but we're going to keep you overnight. And I'm like, well, listen, I'm a camp speaker. I got to go back. They were like, you just need to stay here. So they started to do this, what's called a nuclear stress test. I had to stay overnight. Then I had to go get a test, and your heartbeat had to be kind of low. And my heartbeat was like out of control, like the blood pressure was so they were like, Mr. Olshan, we got to send you back to your room, and we'll give you a little pill to like relax you, and you'll come back. Long story short, no heart problems at all. They said I probably had what's called acid reflux, which is like, have you ever had that where you eat bad pizza or too much coffee and you start getting, does anyone know what I'm talking about? Get that weirdness in your, anyway, I did not have heart problems, but from that day on, I've been very aware of the fact that there's a heart issue that all of us have. And I'm not talking about the thump, thump, thump heart. I'm talking about what the Bible refers to as the heart. And so tonight we're going to talk about the heart and what it means to guard the heart and thinking about it, because for some of you, your heart did not get to where it is overnight. It just didn't happen overnight, the things that have happened to you and the things that have happened to me. And because of that, some of us have made some really great choices. And so your heart is fairly in good shape, your spiritual heart. But there's, for a number of us in here tonight, we've made some really poor choices, some bad decisions, and because of that, our heart has gotten accumulated with some junk. In fact, you will talk to cardiologists who will say that if you eat certain foods over and over and over and over and over again, your arteries will get clogged. Things will go on inside your heart. So let's start to define tonight what the heart is according to the Bible, okay? So in this passage in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, he defines the heart. And he says this, God is talking, he says this, I'm not concerned about outward appearance, I'm concerned about what's in your heart. And so Proverbs talks about the heart over 200 times. The Bible speaks about the heart over 500 times. So this is obviously an important concept that God wants us to go after. So what we're going to do tonight, I've got some volunteers, I've asked some people to read, and so when I read the verse, or I'm going to tell the verse, this person, they're going to stand up. They know who they are. They're going to read the passage, and then we'll proceed. Okay, so let's get going here. Who's got, let's start with our foundational verse for the weekend. This is Proverbs 4:23. Who's got that one? Perfect.
Above all else, guard your heart from everything you do.
Perfect. In all you do, he says, guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 18. Who's got that? Thank you. And then who's got Proverbs 10:8? Very good. Thank you so much. And then who's got Proverbs 7:9-10?
At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, then out came a woman to meet, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent.
Okay. Girls probably checked in. You heard the word twilight. Okay, you heard the word twilight, and you're like, whoa, vampires, cool. Proverbs 23:17, who's got it? Proverbs 23:17.
Not let your heart envy sinners, but always be selfless for the fear of the Lord.
Thank you very much. And who's got Proverbs 14:13?
Even in laughter, the heart may ache, but rejoicing may end in grief.
Yeah, that's talking about a hurting heart. If you didn't catch all these, one was a scheming heart, one was a wise heart, one was a cunning heart, one was a jealous heart. Who's got Proverbs 14:30?
A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones.
That's talking about a heart that's at peace. Who's got Proverbs 15:28?
The heart of righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of wicked gushes evil.
Excellent. And who's got Proverbs, what was yours, 15:28? Perfect. And who's got 15, verse 30?
Light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones.
That's a good reader right there. All right. And chapter 19, verse 3. Who's got that? 19, verse 3.
A person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord.
Right on, Tyler. Proverbs 22:11. Okay, a pure heart. And then last, a deceitful heart, 12:20.
Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy.
Excellent. Okay, so our first fill in the blank tonight is the heart. What is it? The heart is the innermost part of you. It is the center of our being. It's who you are. It's your DNA. It's your wiring. It has passions and excitement and desires. One of my favorite movies that probably shows this is a Disney movie. It's called Inside Out. You guys know what I'm talking about? And can you name the emotions?
Joy.
Sadness.
Anger.
And fear. Yeah. And so. How many do you guys identify with fear? Anybody identify with fear? Anybody identify with disgust? Anybody joy? And what was the other ones? Anger?
Sadness?
And what?
Okay.
So here's the deal. God has given us this thing called the heart. It's the innermost part of you. And Proverbs talks about the scheming heart, the wise heart, the cunning heart, the jealous heart, the hurting heart, the peaceful heart, the righteous heart, the glad heart, the raging heart, the pure and the deceitful. Let me tell you that your heart has what's called multiple chambers. There's different parts of the heart. And I want to show you visual aid, because I think this will really maybe kind of, I'm a visual guy, so I think maybe this will help a little bit. So when I was 18 years old, I gave my life to Jesus, and he started to change me. And so I'll just use the biggest one here to go inside my heart. We'll just use this as my heart. And so I'm putting Jesus in here, okay, clear plastic, okay, Jesus, okay. But I start to crowd it up a little bit, okay. And so even though I've given my life to Christ, I start to crowd it. So I try to stick in here, let's say anger heart, okay? And I'm trying to fit that in. It's kind of, you know, if I do this, it's going to be a little bit tough. But then all of a sudden, I start to add the cunning, deceitful part of me. And then I start to add pride. Now all of a sudden, my heart is getting a little bit overworked here. It's probably like someone who doesn't work out a lot, and they start to work out, and their heart's pumping extra blood a little bit. My profile's the best picture right here, okay? And then there's the deceitful heart. And see, now my heart, now I can't get everything in the heart, and Jesus is getting crowded out. And then I've got the righteous heart. I'll throw that in. That's pretty cool. And the pure heart, I'll fit that in there. But all of a sudden, I've got the jealous heart, and the jealous heart starts to crowd out the peaceful heart. And all of a sudden, my heart is overcrowded. My heart is full. Does that make sense? And I think a lot of us are like that. We've still got Jesus there, but all these other things are crowding out. And I don't know about you, but I never paid attention to my physical heart until 8 years ago when I had this scare. And I don't think a lot of people think about their, quote, innermost center of their being heart, because it gets overworked. And we were taught as kids, how many of your parents spanked you when you were little? Who have a group therapy moment? Okay. And see, what your parents were teaching you was called behavior modification, which is, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this and I'm not going to do that. And so growing up, we think, well, I'm pretty good. My heart's pretty good. But then all of a sudden, we start to realize that there are things that are attacking us. And we'll talk tomorrow morning about the five enemies of the heart. And every one of us in this room have struggled with that. So my heart here is a little bit crowded. And Jesus now is kind of suffocated. I know it's impossible for him to suffocate. But if you just catch the analogy here, Jesus is getting overwhelmed in my life because of all these other things that I'm letting influence my heart. So it's that centermost part of our being. Well, there's a case study in Scripture that talks about a woman who really is struggling with this. And I just want to read you a couple verses of it. In John chapter 11, there's a story told about a woman who is caught in adultery. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a number of sins that if you did it, you were stoned. Now, I'm not talking about this kind of stoned, okay? I'm talking about where they got these huge rocks and they took you out to the city and they threw them at you and they killed you, okay? And one of the sins that you were murdered for was adultery. Now, adultery is where the husband is messing around with someone other than his wife, his spouse, or the woman is messing around with another guy other than her husband. And so the Bible says here that this woman was caught in adultery. So the leaders catch her, and they're the religious leaders. They're actually called the teachers of the law, and that means that they know the first five books of Moses, this much here. They know this much. They've memorized this entire five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they've memorized it. These are scholars. They know every Bible verse in the first five books of Moses. So the Bible says they caught this woman in the act. So I don't know if that means like they're walking around and they go in this house, they're peeking through the window and they're like, what's going on there? You know, and the Bible says they caught her, but according to the Old Testament, the two parties who were involved in the adultery, they had to be brought before the people in order for this to really be played out. So in other words, they caught the woman, but they haven't caught the man. So the scripture says this. So they made her stand in front before the group, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and in the law of Moses, it commands us to stone such women. Now, what do you say about that?" So they're trying to trap him. And they were using this as a question, as a trap, in order that they might have a basis for accusing Jesus. So they're trying to get Jesus to lean one way or the other. Either you're leaning against the Old Testament, or you're leaning against this scenario. But Jesus knows you have to have both parties involved. Now, Jesus does something very fascinating. Have you ever had someone talking to you, and then all of a sudden they just whip out their cell phone, and they start looking, and they start playing, and start texting, as if you hadn't, it's like you were became invisible? Has anyone ever had that to happen to you? Could have a group moment. Okay, so you're there, and you're having a nice conversation, and all of a sudden they whip that thing out. It's like, whoa, back here. I'll speak to you. Jesus, he doesn't have a cell phone. He gets on the ground, and he starts drawing something on the ground. And nobody quite knows what he's drawing, but it says he gets his finger in the dirt and he starts writing things with his finger. And I can just imagine maybe he's writing the sins of the leaders. Maybe he's writing lust, bad thoughts, stealing. Maybe he's writing the names of women that those leaders have thought about lustfully in their brains. Maybe they've had Jesus, because he's fully God and fully man, he knows the hearts of people. So maybe he's writing down Priscilla, Julie, Sarah, Henrietta, Bertha. You know, he's writing all these names down, right? And the Bible says this, "And then he said to them, he that is without sin, cast the stone." The Bible says this, "And when they heard this, one at a time, the older ones first, started to walk away. And the woman was standing there all by herself." "Woman, has anyone accused you? Are you condemned? Are you judged?" She says, "No, Lord. No one's condemned me." He says, "Then neither do I. Go and sin no more." And she walks away. And I'm just going to assume, Jesus freeze frames it so you don't really know the end of the story, but I'm just going to assume a couple things. She walked away free. She walked away in a new spirit. She walked away a different person. What do we learn about this text here? She has pain and she has sin. And a lot of us do what we call pain management. We don't like the pain, okay? Ledley and I, we're old, so we have back problems. We have pain. Neither of us like pain. But both of us are trying to figure out individually how to fix not just the pain, but the problem that causes the pain. And that's what sin is. Sin is, in the Greek, it's a word that's an archery word. It means harmateia, and the word is this. You shoot the arrow at the bullseye, pew, and the moment you miss the bullseye, you have harmateia'd, or you have missed the mark. You have missed the bullseye. That's what sin is. The Bible says if you sin one time, you've broken the entire law. What do we do about all that? The Bible says that she sinned and she's in pain. The second thing we know about this woman is she's made some bad choices. She's made some poor choices, some bad decisions. She's obviously been somehow caught in adultery. We don't know how many times. But this is a woman that is looking to fill her heart with stuff. And she's trying to fill it with guys. And maybe she's really empty. Maybe deep down inside, she's really a bored person. And so she's just trying to fill up her life with stuff. We also know this. She encounters Jesus. And this is going to be a game changer. Her life will probably never be the same. As she meets Jesus that day, we see this. "Neither do I condemn you." She walks away a new person. So what do we do with these hard issues? The Bible says in Proverbs, many are the plans in a person's heart, but God's purpose will prevail. What can we get from tonight as we consider this and sing some and go to our small groups? Number one, the heart is meant to be filled up with God, not all this stuff. There is a great dude years and years ago who said this, the heart is meant to be filled up with God and God alone. And nothing will fill the heart like God. Your heart, my heart, was meant to be filled with God fully. And the more you fill yourself with God, the more these things have no room to get inside these chambers. And then all that you have left is you got Jesus. Now that's a process. That doesn't happen overnight. If you came in with a bunch of extra stuff in here, you're not going to get rid of it in a 20-minute talk. But over a period of time, over days and weeks and months and years, you will start to learn how to swim in the Holy Spirit. You'll learn how to do that naturally. Now, I don't know about you, but when you walk or you talk, do you think about it? When you go down steps, do you think about it? You go, I'm going down. Do you think about it? Probably not, because it's so natural to you. It comes so easy to you. You don't even think about it. I think it's the same way with being filled up with God. I think the more you do it, it just becomes so supernaturally natural. It just becomes easy, and you don't really think about it that much. But I tell you what, in the beginning, it seems so hard because we are trying too hard. We're trying too hard in our own power to make it. So number one, our heart's meant to be filled with God. Number two, only God can change the heart. I have been, you know, a pastor. I've been a youth pastor. I'm a college professor, and I have seen hundreds and hundreds of lives messed up. I can't begin to tell you how many kids out of my youth ministries and college groups and churches and just people I meet on the street, people who just screw their life up. They just make such bad choices. But I've also seen the positive, that God can take a stinking, screwed up life, and he has with me, and he's taken a hard life and a life that seems struggling, and he can take it and he can change it. Do you believe that? Number three, Jesus took care of the sin problem on the cross. He literally, legally took care of all sins, your past sins, your present sins, and even your future sins. And we could go through 10 Bible verses tonight, but we won't. But this is what Jesus did on the cross. He just didn't go up there and go, this is going to be so much fun. I mean, that was a struggle. And when they put him on that Roman gibbet and he started to struggle and suffocate and his lungs are caving in and he's having trouble breathing, he did that for you and me. As Max Lucado would say, if your face was on a refrigerator and God had that refrigerator, and if God had a wallet and your face was there, God would say, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you. And he actually literally took on our sins and became sin for us. And then the last thought I want to give you tonight is there is no shame or condemnation in Christ. And what that means, men and women, is that Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. In other words, God's not smacking you. And I think a lot of people have this image of God. He's got this big baseball bat. He's ready to club you the moment you screw up. Anything but that's not even close to the way God is. God is doing exactly what he did with this woman. He's saying, come to me. I will not condemn you. I want to free you from your sin. I want to free you from your junk. But there's no condemnation. There's no guilt. There's no shame. And I meet a lot of students who just live in a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. And some of it is false guilt. It's stuff that they need to move on with. So let me ask you tonight, how is your heart? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. What does it say to do? Trust him. Lean on him. Don't lean on what you can figure out. The Bible says, as far as the heavens are from the earth. Do you know how far the earth is from the heavens? You can never find it, can you? It's that far. So are God's thoughts that different from yours and mine? He's saying, as far as the earth is from the heaven, That's a long way off, man. So are my thoughts different from your thoughts? So you want to know my thoughts tonight? I hope not. I want to give you God's thoughts tonight as much as I know. Trust in Him. Lean not to your own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge God, and He will direct our path. So, life can be hard on the heart. That's why God says guard it. The world is full of outside influences that have the power to disrupt the rhythm and the cadence of our heart, the chambers of our heart. And many of you in here tonight, you're struggling because you're not sure if you want your heart to be in line with God or not. And there's others of you, you're all in. You're saying tonight, I am here for that very reason, David Oldshine. I'm here because I want my heart to have a pace with God, not a pace with the culture. I want to be in line with the things of God. Some of you need to know tonight your heart did not get where it is because of some overnight experience. It's usually happened and matriculated over a period of weeks or months or years where some habit started and it kept growing and growing and growing and growing. This weekend, we are here to talk about the things that will help guard our heart. And we'll also talk about the things that can destroy the heart. It can be an enemy to the heart. So let me ask you as you go tonight, later on in your small groups, and our band, I think, is going to come up again. How's your heart? Is it getting cluttered with all this stuff? The angry heart, the resentful heart, the troubled heart, the cunning heart, the deceitful heart. Is it getting crowded out? Is Jesus getting crowded out? And what will you do this weekend? What steps will you take in order to have the same words that Jesus said to the woman? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Let's pray. Father, tonight we want to start by acknowledging that only you can change a heart. Only you can cleanse a heart. But we also want to say tonight, we want to be teachable. And with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I just want to ask you one question tonight. Would you be teachable this weekend to whatever God has for you, whatever God wants to say to you? Would you just be open? I'm not asking you to make any commitments tonight. Just one question. Will you be teachable? Would you be open? Would you be pliable? And if you would you just put your hand up to God and say, yes, Lord, this weekend, I just want to be teachable. I'm willing to be teachable all around the room. If you're open, just open to being teachable. That's all I'm asking you to do tonight. I'm willing to be teachable all across this room. Father, you see the hearts and the hands, even those who aren't raising their hand. Thank you that they're being honest. Maybe they're not there yet. That's okay. You love them just the same. And thank you, Father, for your grace in Jesus that took our sins upon himself and nailed him to a tree. And he suffered and died for us, but he would rise again. Hallelujah. And Father, this weekend, teach us what it means to guard our heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to audio from Sandhills Community Church. Feel free to share this with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.